and verse 28. Then we're going to go to the book of Acts today. If you will allow me today just to lay a foundation, give you a few terms today, a little bit of perspective before we get into the Word so that we can understand the Word more clearly and concisely. And Karen asked me if I was going to preach like I used to in camp meetings, and I said, well, it's not something you can predict. Amen. My emphasis in my time of this life, and of course, we cannot do without the anointing and how God would speak, but as a pastor, I have a tremendous desire for you to hear the Word and to receive the Word. Not so much the fact of being caught. I love the preaching birthed in it. It's a great part of my life. Amen. I absolutely embrace it, knowing that God has given times. There is a time to preach. There is a time to teach, as there is a time for all things. But nonetheless, wherever the Holy Spirit desires, because the Holy Spirit is the administrator of the church. He is the one who administrates the gifts. He is the one who administrates the offices within the church. And in that context, we trust Him to know exactly what to do at all times. Amen? So let's touch our right ear and let's say, Father, let us hear. Come on. Everybody was not talking right then. Father, let us hear what the Spirit has to say to the church. And let us be obedient to that Word right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Look with me in Joel chapter 2. And verse 28. Joel chapter 2 and verse 28. And it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Everybody say all. All flesh. Okay? I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. I want you to notice the word here, all, which has a wonderful connotation here, and that is not some, not a particular group, not an individual group. He chose, the Holy Spirit chose this word here to say all flesh. Can you believe today that He meant all flesh? See, I believe today that that is significant for us to understand that in that one simple word, all, that He meant all. He didn't say some or part. He did not mean for it to be just for Anglos. He didn't mean it just to be for Jews. He did not mean it just for men. He didn't mean it just for women. In fact, it's unique as we go into the Word here in just a little bit. And I want you to see something here, because He clarifies and He says that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. It is interesting here because that He includes and says not just sons, but also daughters shall be included. That's why I love the New Testament, and we are under a new covenant. We're not under the old covenant, we're under a new covenant. And in that new covenant, Paul clarifies to us and says, there is neither male nor female, Jew nor Greek, bond or free, but we are all one in Christ Jesus. That means that God is not just using the people we feel comfortable with. Amen. Or that we doctrinally or theologically, through our belief systems, have constructed some kind of theology that says that women cannot preach and women cannot minister. It is so far outside the contents of the Word of God. In fact, some of the most powerful used individuals in the Word of God has been women. Amen. Amen? And why would God exclude something that He created? Are you hearing me? God created so that there would be a balance and that there would be a spectrum of God's view and God's heart in the earth. Amen? So He said, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaidens in those days will I pour out my Spirit, And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. And the sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon unto blood before the great, the terrible day of the Lord come. I want you to understand something, that we need to interpret what is the day of the Lord. And the day of the Lord is not just, are you listening to me, is not just the coming of Christ. Even though that we have a closed canon here of 66 books, how many realizes that we're under a covenant, not the old covenant, but the new covenant? Can I ask you today is this, has the new covenant ceased? Are we under a different covenant? No, we are not. We are under the new covenant, the covenant of grace, and by the dispensation of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Everybody say that. We are under the covenant of grace. The new covenant has not ceased, has not closed. Amen? Has not closed. Now, turn with me to the book of Acts. To the book of Acts, chapter 2. Acts chapter 1, if you would, please. In verse 3 of chapter 1 of the book of Acts, many call it the Acts of the Apostles, but it's really the Acts of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This is the book of the Acts of the Holy Spirit. And in verse 3, he says to us, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days. And speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And I just want you to understand here today is this, is that when Jesus came, he fulfilled the feast of first fruits and he fulfilled the feast of Passover. Jesus became the literal embodiment and manifestation of those two feasts that the Lord had set up in the Old Testament for Israel to celebrate. And he became the fulfillment of that, the Passover lamb, the lamb that was to be sacrificed for sins. The same sacrifice that in the tabernacle of Moses, that they sacrificed the lamb that was spotless for the sins of Israel. But that covenant ceased, and so those sacrifices, those blood sacrifices, those ordinances ceased in the Old Testament. And no matter how many who are trying to revisit or to restore those ordinances and those sacrifices, they are in vain. There are exercises in futility. Why? Because when Jesus came and he died on Calvary and shed his blood, he became the Passover lamb. Amen? When God searched through heaven and could not find one, he found the spotless lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, his only begotten son, to die for you and I. Jesus became the fulfillment of Passover. Amen? He became the fulfillment of Passover. And so 50 days after Passover was the feast of Pentecost. And so here, as he began, and I will go back over some of this stuff later on, but in verse 4, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which I say of he, and ye have heard of me. And in Mark, we read it last week, I believe, the scripture out of Mark chapter 16, where he said, tarry you into Jerusalem until you be endued or clothed from power upon high. We know, according to John, that Jesus had breathed upon his disciples earlier in their ministry and breathed upon them and gave them the Holy Spirit at that time. And they were reborn at that moment, at that sense. But they had not yet received the promise of the Holy Spirit. And so here he says, wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. It was a distinctive, separate work of grace. It was a distinctive work of sanctification. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, listen now. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And what I want you to hear this is this. We know that they had not understood yet what God was going to do, because the kingdom of God had already come. It had come through the Lord Jesus Christ. We understand that today. We can see it now because we have the revelation of the Holy Spirit that's there. But they had not received the embodiment and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So there were things they could not see. They still believed that there was going to be an overtake of Rome and that they were going, that he was going to set up his throne there as a natural kingdom. And the sad thing that they did not see is the kingdom of God had already come. His kingdom was already there. Every time that Jesus healed the sick, every time he raised the dead, he demonstrated this is the kingdom that you're seeing. This is the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is not found in hierarchy. The kingdom of God, as Paul said, it's found in the demonstration and the power of the Holy Spirit. The kingdom of God is not demonstrated because I can read the Bible or quote scriptures. The kingdom of God is demonstrated because I can demonstrate the life of Jesus Christ. When Jesus said to his disciples, the work that I do, you shall also do. That you shall also do, and greater works shall I do because I go unto the Father. Are you hearing me? So in that we realize that because of that, that God had a continuation. The ministry was not to cease with Jesus dying, neither was it to cease when on the day of Pentecost that the 120 had received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Everybody say continuation. Can I ask you today, if you're sitting today, or right now, if you're sitting today, how many knows that there is a difference in marriage, but what creates a continuation of your life? Nick and Kellen celebrated the gender of their baby yesterday, which she is going to give birth to a baby girl, amen, and in a matter of months. And Nick and Kellen are in love, but they want to continue their life, amen. And how are they continuing their life? They are continuing life by birthing children to continue who they are. Let me share with you today that God does not have us birthing children so that we can have free labor in the house, even though I tell my grandkids that all the time and my children that was the only reason I had them, was so I could have free labor. Amen. And at times I'm sure they thought that. No. That's not why we have children. Can I tell you something? That's not why God had children. God had children based upon the fact of, here was the reasoning. God wanted to have fellowship with man. He wanted to have an intimate relationship with him. Are you hearing me today? And even in marriage, how many knows that we have a relationship? And going back and using that today is going back and meeting Karen and going to her house. And I looked at her, and of course, for me, I fell into love. That's why I noticed, I think it was Nick and Kellen had put on, I guess I'm going to use you guys as an example all through the message today. But I think they put a post on about how do you know you're married to the right person. See, some of you are thinking right now, please tell me. I like what it said in there in the article. It said, at first, you go through the cycle of that you fall in love. I had never seen it before, so it was really nice. I saw it because when you fall in love, when you fall, or it better suited when I tripped in love, amen, because it's not something that you can help. It's not something that you can stop. When you fall in love, that's exactly what you're doing, amen. So there's not a lot on your part. You see somebody. That's why that I tell people all the time, you can't help. If you're attracted to somebody and you fall in love with them, of course you can fall in love with them. But it's not about just falling in love, because how many knows after a period of time as me and Karen matured in our relationship or the length of our relationship, it was not enough to get a handshake and a peck on the cheek. See, God created us for intimacy. God created us biologically and has wired us as men and women to have intimacy with another human being. Are you hearing me? A man has that. It's wired within a man. It's wired within a woman to mature, to take the relationship, if you would please, to another level. into that level of communion and relationship. That cannot happen unless there is a holy union. Under God, to have a holy union, it has to transpire through matrimony and the two coming together and sharing consummation and unity and communion. It's not just on the basic level of sexual relationships, but it's based upon that spirit. Because how many knows that in relationship, in marriage, that is where intimacy is found. God created that, and that's why that God created the church the way He did. He knew that the disciples who became the apostles did not become the apostles until they became and baptized in the Holy Spirit. That there was no way they were going to exist just on the memory. All I did was that first time meeting Karen, and she was coming out of the dining room, and I walked into the living room, and here was this girl on a Sunday afternoon with her blonde curly hair and her green outfit that her mother had made for her, and she was beautiful. I was enchanted by her. She came through. But then at that point, if you'll realize, is that I kept coming back for more. Are you hearing me? There began that pursuit, but how many knows no relationship lives and exists on memory? Jesus knew that. He knew the disciples were going to have something more to be able to communicate on them. There's not only a relationship of love, there is a language of love also. That's why He sent the Holy Spirit. I'm getting myself ahead just a little bit, but it's okay. He gave them a language, therefore, that He could communicate. Do you know there's only between a husband and wife, you communicate like no other couple does on the planet Earth. You communicate with your husband and wife like you communicate with no other human being. God created it that way. There is a language, there is a love that's between it. Well, Pastor, we have a difficulty communicating. Anytime there is difficulty communicating, that's because flesh and carnality rule over the fact of unity and love. Let me say something to you today, is that God wants to create a language within our life. A language of intimacy and a language of love between us and the Father. And the Lord knew that. When He created the apostles, they couldn't even stay awake 1 hour. Are you hearing me? At the most critical time of their life, and Jesus was praying, He said, stay right here, stay awake, and watch with me for 1 hour. And the boys couldn't even make it. They were sound asleep. Twice. Are you listening to me? Jesus knew they would need something more to engage society and to engage the world. He knew they would need the same power that He had. And He knew that as long as He stayed upon the earth, they could not receive that power. All they could have was His physical form. That's why Jesus said, I must go unto the Father, and if I do so, I will send you another Comforter just like me, and He is going to lead you into all truth. Not only is He going to lead you into all truth, but He is going to empower you to lay hands on the sick. He's going to cause you to raise the dead. He's going to cause you to cast out devils in my name. You're going to be just like me in the earth. Can I ask you a question today? If they needed it then, if they needed that same power then to be able to engage the dark world that they lived in the time of Rome, tell me today, looking at the news, looking at social media, looking at the world we live in today, pray tell me, how is it that we do not need the power of the Holy Spirit within our lives even more so today than ever before? We don't need less. We need more. Amen? I love what Bishop Lanier said today on a post. He said the church, when it was birthed, there was a great, mighty, rushing wind that introduced the Spirit to the disciples. And he said basically what we have settled now for is a gentle breeze blowing through the church. Are you hearing me?
Let me tell you something, folks. The world is on fire. You're not hearing me. I said the world is on fire, consumed with its own lust, consumed with its own deception, consumed with its own self, consumed. The world, if you're not hearing me, I said you're not hearing me today. The world is on fire. We think and we live in a temporal sense. In society today, we look and we live like this is forever. Honey, I want you to know something. The earth is not my forever land. I said the earth is not my forever land. This is not my personal playground. God has another earth and another new heaven that He is going to create for me. The earth is on fire and we cannot even see it, but we as the church must be greater than the fire that is setting the earth on fire. We must have the Holy Ghost and fire. The three Hebrew children, the one thing as I studied out, the three, and you all know it. If you don't know it, we'll teach it to you. But the three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, were worshipers of God, and they were cast, Nebuchadnezzar cast them into the fiery furnace because they would not bow down and they would not worship the golden idol. Amen? Would not worship the golden idol. And he cast them into the fiery furnace. The furnace, before he cast them, they told him multiple, I think it was 7 or 10 times, heat the furnace up hotter than it's ever been. If you ever worked around heat and certain things, literally what should have happened when they picked them up and threw them in the fire, they should have disintegrated immediately. I think those men expected them to disintegrate, but when they threw them into the furnace, they looked in and the king said, look in and see what's going on. And they looked in. In fact, the men who had thrown them in, they had burnt up. And so immediately it caught the king's eye. Wait a minute here. I seen them burn, but the others are not burning. Let's check it out and see if it took them just a little bit longer. They looked in to check it out, and here the three of them were walking around, and they looked in and they said, what's going on? They said they're walking around, but there's now a fourth man who's in the midst of the fire, and he is like the Son of God. I tell you, it is nothing but a spiritual objective and a vision for you and I, knowing today that there needs to be a fourth man involved in our lives today in the fire that is burning the earth. Let me say something to you today. It's just an observation. Is that all right if I give an observation today? The Old Testament had the written law in front of them all the time. In fact, every day it was written on their hands. It was on their foreheads. It was on their homes. The fathers were commanded to teach their children constantly of the Ten Commandments and all that was required of the law. Amen? But it didn't keep them from sinning. It neither purged their conscience. Are you hearing me? See, God knew there had to be a greater experience. Are you hearing me? We see God the Father in the Godhead and His personality dominant in the Old Testament. We see Jesus in the expression of each one of the books of the Old Testament, but we see God the Father and His dominant role within Israel. We hardly ever hear anything about Gentiles. That's you and me. Amen? But Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 3 that this covenant was insufficient because it could not do what God wanted done within the hearts and the lives of men. Is that the Old Testament could take and it could make you aware of what was going on, but it could not free you. It could tell you, hey, Big boy, you got lust. Hey, lady, you've got jealousy problems. Hey, you've got anger problems. Are you listening to me today? It could do it, and it could make them aware. It could draw the picture, and they could look. That's who I am. Yeah, that's me. Amen? Are you hearing me? See, you can take this Bible, and it can be a paintbrush that paints the problem, or it can reveal the problem, but it can reveal the solution also. That's why he says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, that it is a double-edged sword. The sword of the word not only kills, not only does it pierce even to asunder and separates the soul and the spirit, but what it does is it reveals, but the same sword that can kill is the same sword that can be raised up and it can bring healing to your life. This word right here not only has the ability to kill sin, but it also has the ability to heal what sin did in your life. And Jesus knew by himself he would not be able to do that. But through the power of the Holy Spirit living and abiding within you, he could accomplish what he needed to do. Are you hearing me today? Are you hearing me? Amen? Well, I guess, Mother, you're getting your wish. Look. So, the earth is on fire. The earth is being consumed. The earth was on fire in this day. Are you hearing me? They thought, we have it finished. We have crucified the Son of God. Herod said, we've done it. We've accomplished the task at hand. We have stopped the Son of God. It looked like the church was head stalled out. The church was no longer viable. It had closed itself off. It had cloistered itself in an upper room. All that was left after all the thousands that had followed Jesus from town to town now were down and had been reduced to 120 men and women into an upper room hovering to themselves, hanging on to the very last promise of the Lord. Go to Jerusalem. Tarry there and wait for the promise. Wow. See, that is the way it is with the Lord. See, the Lord knows how to filter through and get it down to the right ingredient, to the right group of people. The Lord knows what it's going to take. He knows how to temper the steel. He knows how to mix a church. God knows how to mix a church together. He knows how to bring the right people. We so often think we are so much in control, but I have you to know today that we are serving a sovereign God, a God who has your life in mind. You may not be thinking about him, but God is thinking about you all the time. You are on his mind and in his heart. God had a purpose. Even though we have given up on our purpose, even though we have given up on the design that God has for our life, even though that life has consumed us and made us hard and indifferent to the world and to each other. But God has not given up on you. God did not give up on the church. It looked like God had walked away, that his son was dead and his disciples were desperate for something in their life. 10 days they waited. 10 days they prayed. I would have loved to hear the conversations in that room. I would have loved to hear, because the disciples had a problem getting along. They suffered jealousy of one another. They wanted to be the closest one to Jesus. They loved it when the Lord bragged upon them and one did something the other didn't. And then they bickered back and forth. Even at the Last Supper, they were bickering. Aren't you glad we're not like them? Even with the Lord in their midst, they could not control themselves. Even at the Last Supper, they had no idea. Jesus giving a dinner party. Amen. We're invited. You're not. Amen. Can you see them clamoring to see who was going to get closest to Jesus? And I want you to know who sat where was exactly where God wanted them to sit. You may not believe that, but I believe that. And I believe that God knew where it was going to be. God knows at your beginning from your end. And He knows the evil that is waiting for you. But God knows this. He knows you. And He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And no matter what you may face in the future, no matter what may be awaiting you there tomorrow, God said, I am not only the God of today, I'm the God of tomorrow. And what God is saying to the disciples then is that, look, you may not understand, but you're going to have to go and you're going to have to wait. The most difficult thing for any of us to do. Wait. They were not the most patient breed. Really, their head at the time was Peter. Paul wasn't even in the story yet. Are you hearing me? Peter was their head, and he was the most impatient and most emotional out of the whole group. You might say today that he had an attention deficit disorder. Problem was, there was no Ritalin to control his focus. Can you imagine how hard it was? Peter, the first one to jump out of the boat. The one in the garden who took his sword and cut off the servant's ear. The one who was always impulsive. The one who was always the first to speak up and to speak out. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? This was Peter. He's the head. Can you imagine the pacing that was going on in the upper room, backwards and forth? But what happened is, like in anything, do I believe that there was prayer immediately? No. I believe that they were still scattered, but there was a point where that they ran out of words and ran out of resolutions and ran out of problems. They even had a businessman and voted one of theirs in to be the next apostle. Why? Because they were still in their flesh. They were still trying to resolve it by their technique, by their ideals, by their abilities. But God had another plan. He was getting ready to send something from heaven, not from the earth, because the answer they needed could not come from the earth. The answer they needed, just like the answer you need, cannot come from the earth. It cannot come from flesh and blood. The answer the world needs, the answer this church needs, the answer you need today is nothing less than supernatural from God above. Amen. So the Bible says, and Jesus said to them, John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know. I like what the translation says. Reads, it's none ya. It's none ya business. Amen. See, the thing of it is, the church, here's what my issue is with the church. We are more involved with the things we should not be involved with, and we find ourselves less involved with the things that we should be involved with, and that is the spiritual things and changing society. Look, folks, I want you to know something. God didn't call us so that we would come to gather together. God called us so that He could empower us. He did not give His Holy Spirit and to baptize these disciples so that they could just come together and be a group. They were already a group, a motley group, if you would please, but they were still a group. It's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in His own power. And then He said to him, but you shall receive power, dunamis. A couple translations read, that's where we get the word dynamite from. Because the power of the Holy Spirit can be explosive, it can be instantaneous. I understand. I do. I understand human nature. We are afraid of anything we feel like we don't understand. Amen? Amen. That's why that we have problems walking down dark alleys by ourselves. Now, I don't mind if I have my Glock, you know, hung on my side. I walk down most dark alleys. But even with a gun on your side, there is apprehension of the unknown that is before us. And most people live in the unknown. What I find to be a great mystery is that the church is in more anxiety today than it has ever been in its history. More pastors are burning out. More pastors falling into immorality. Churches falling to deception on every side. You say, why, Pastor? I can tell you why. Because we have reverted to a church that is logical, but a church that is not empowered by the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you something. The Holy Spirit will not always make sense to you. But the one thing the Holy Spirit will always be, He will be a guide who will lead you. You may not understand where you're going. You may not got a pre-mapping committee meeting to where God said, this is where you're going. What God says, trust me, I will take you to the right place. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. See, the only power they had was a delegated power. Jesus had the power to point his finger and say, one, I want you to get with Anthony and the two of you go out and I want you to do exactly what I did. He delegated unto them two by two and delegated that power. But after that, that power was only temporary. It was only delegated. I can delegate to you to sweep this floor. But after you sweep the floor, your power has ceased. Are you listening to me? This is a different kind of power. This is not just a dunamis power, but this is also the word that we get from Jairo. It is the same power that is a regenerative power. Everybody say regenerative. It is the same power that you see in power plants that generates electricity. My brother Rick up there several years ago moved into a granary, an old granary with a grinding wheel that had a, what's that wheel on the outside? Water wheel on the outside. And what that water wheel did is that it would work as electricity, and it would create that stone that was in there and grind that wheat or corn. But Rick has taken it, and he has used it, that it can produce power. Amen, brother? What causes the power to be produced is not because there's a wheel there. Rick doesn't go down to the wheel and say, wheel, produce power. Amen? What does Rick do? Rick doesn't do anything except what he needs to do to make the connection to the wheel to the light. You stand between the Holy Spirit and the world. Are you got the picture? But Rick needs one important component. Do you know what it is? Does that feel good, man? He lacks one component. What is it? Anybody know? Water. When the water comes down that creek, and it comes down and it hits that wheel, the force of that causes that wheel to turn. Are you hearing me? Jesus knew this. See, Jesus said, you're the wheel. And here was these 120 wheels sitting in that upper room. They had all received salvation because Jesus had breathed on them. John records to us that he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. So is he repeating himself here? No. They needed one other component. Jesus revealed it to them earlier when Jesus was standing and saw the ritual that they would go by every year and bring and have the temple. It's out of Ezekiel there where they would take and drop water on the dust of the temple to exemplify the picture of Ezekiel, to where the Spirit of God came into the temple and rushed through it and flowed even out of the doors and into the streets. Jesus said this to the disciples. He said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. See, I want you to know something here. Jesus could have looked at them and he could have said this word. He could have used this word. He could have said to them, out of your belly shall be a nice little pond. Out of your belly shall be a nice little lake. Out of your belly, and when we were a kid, my father was born back in the mountains, and back in the mountains there, they didn't have running water. In fact, it was difficult to drill through those mountains, and what they had to lean on was springs of water. It was flowing up, and it would add a bit of water, and it would cause that to be. They would flow, but most of them were just little streams. But Jesus here changed the whole context, and he said, out of your belly just think, that stream, that one stream flows off, coming down through the hills, down into that little dam that he has there, and hits that wheel and creates motion of that great big wheel. That one stream of water is able to move that wheel and generate electricity. Here you stand. That water stops. The wheel stops. Amen? But as long as the water is flowing, the wheel keeps moving and generating. This is what he is saying here. He's saying, coupled with what I said to you, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. God wasn't saying that there was water going to come out of your belly. He wasn't talking about your natural belly. He was talking about the belly of your spirit man. He said, I am not only going to fill you, now listen to me, I'm not only going to fill, this is the promise that he said to them, Joel saying, I shall pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Not just some flesh, not just a time. Why did he just say, at that moment, here is what I'm going to do. I'm going to pour out my spirit upon you, and that's it. Why is it the New Testament gets it all, and they needed what they needed to be able to birth the church? My contention is this. We have the Word of God without question. We have the Word. But he knew it would take more than just the written Word. It would take an empowerment that you could have the wheel. But what you need is you need a free-flowing stream, multiple streams flowing out of us to create electricity in people's lives. We can't create anything without the Holy Spirit in our life. So this is why he said here, but ye shall receive power, dunamis, a free flowing, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Everybody say that, out of my belly shall flow rivers of living water. Does the wheel move without the water? If the Holy Spirit, that's why Paul came along later and said, be ye filled with the Spirit. That word there is not a noun. It is a verb. It is talking being continuously filled with the Spirit of God. That is that the Spirit of God keeping yourself filled. Why? So the wheel can keep moving. So that we can keep generating power to the earth. Without the Holy Spirit, the earth has no power. The earth is without form and void. We know that according to Genesis chapter 1. When the earth was without form and void, the Spirit hovered over the earth and created life. Without the Spirit, baby, we are dead. Because when water has no exit point, it can have an entry point, but water has to have a exit point for it to stay fresh. So if you've been saying, man, I'm feeling stagnant, like I ain't going nowhere. See, if that's been your confession, my life ain't going nowhere, man. My life is going nowhere. You might say, I'm dead in the water. Can I tell you why? Because any believer that has the Spirit of God and they have no exit of that which God has freely you have received, now freely give. The exit plan is this. You've got it. Now you've got to learn to give it to others. Look, everyone is different. Whatever the field of operation that God put you in, God's put you in so you can bring power and light to those individuals. I'm going to get into gifts and I'm going to get into tongues. I'll get into all of that. But what I want you to understand today is this. I want you to understand the baseline. I want you to understand why God gave us the Holy Spirit. Why God gave you the Holy Spirit. So He not only just would produce power in us. You know, here we are, you know. We just, you know, kind of just enjoying the buzz. You know. Because that's what a lot of Pentecostal, full gospel, charismatic churches have been. Is they have become basically a bless me club. We hear a lot of good preaching. We say a lot of good amens. But we're not seeing people born again. We're not seeing the sick healed, the dead raised. Can I ask you today is this? Is there no dead that needs to be raised? Is there no sick that needs to be healed, Nick? There's no devils that need to be cast out? After the closed canon, after church, you know, held not together and says, hey, we're done for. We ain't going to bother these other people here. We've been through enough with these 12 apostles. We're finished. We're closing up shop. We're just going to stay in hell. We ain't going to bother nobody now. Y'all getting quiet. Amen? My grandkids get quiet when I correct them. Usually because they're guilty. Are you guilty? Don't feel guilt. Feel encouraged to know, look, we are coming in today for the earth to be changed. For how are we going to change Wilkes County? By alone, by conforming and being relevant to the culture. I can relate to the people here. I know, Nicole, what it is to be poor. I think I was telling Juan and Edelina, went out to eat, and I was telling them, I said, a lot of people don't know what poor food is. Poor food is different. See people now, Edelina, enjoying tortillas. And they said, and they think it's a delicacy. Well, the reason why they made tortillas is because they couldn't run down to a store and buy a loaf of bread. So they had to make their own bread. See, poor bread for here, folks, is cornbread. We treat it like it's a delicacy. Now people sell it and make it a delicacy in restaurants. Well, my mama made it because we couldn't run down and buy a loaf of bread anytime we wanted. And the bread we had was either cornbread baked in the oven or was fried cornbread on her black skillet that she had on her stove. We talking about eating sweet things. And for dessert, used to take, you know, when we got bread, if you didn't have bread, you take cornbread and you put a little bit of butter on it and you put some honey on it. That was dessert. And as a kid, I remember that we never had cakes and stuff in the house. So what we did is that we take two pieces of white bread and we take butter. And then what we do is we sprinkle sugar on that. And that was a sugar bread sandwich. That's what we took to school. Oh, hush now. Some of you had no idea what I'm talking about. Amen. Karen, I know she don't know what I'm talking about. That's right. Sugar sandwich. I said sugar sandwich. Amen. So you had lunch meat. We had lunch meat. You got some butter, and you better spread it thin. Because if Daddy saw you throwing a big old hunk here, and you had a big... No. You better spread that butter thin on there. Amen. Remember, butter was always cold, and you put on that white bread, and you could never spread it right because it just pulled chunks out of the white bread. So you'd have butter here, butter there, you know, and then you had big old holes in your bread. But then you sprinkle sugar on there, and that became a sandwich. Remember, as a kid, we used to put oatmeal in a cup, And then we'd take a little bit of sugar and put some canned cream in, on there. You ladies use it for all bacon. I use it because that's all we had. That's poor people food. Poor people, man, know how to be creative when they're hungry. When they're hungry. When they're hangry. You know how to create. So in that same context, I want you to understand is that God knows what we have need of. We can be relevant to the society that we live in. We can be relevant to Wilkes County. But honey, I want you to know something. All the relevance that lives in this county, all the folks who have been raised generation after generation that has been here will not set them free. Mama's belief system, the old superstitions, and the old ways will not raise them up from the pit and place them on the solid rock and take them to a new way of life. Let me tell you something. We can live. We're living in better homes, driving better cars, dressing in better clothes. But what good is any of it if we don't have the power of the Holy Spirit to change the trajectory of people's lives? The Father knew it. That's why He sent the Spirit. Why? Because the men that was there, they weren't rich men. They were tax collectors and fishermen. They were the populace of the society at the time. Do you hear what I'm saying to you? They were the populace. That's why when these boys stepped out of that upper room and God had given them the language of all the nations that had come to Jerusalem on that day of celebration for Pentecost, and those thousands of people gathered around that place and packed the streets and stood there at that upper room, and Peter stepped out, and those men down in the bottom were listening to them speak. They heard their own language and they looked and said, "This is impossible. These are fishermen. These are uneducated men. These are men that could not know our language, but here they are speaking to us the gospel of Jesus Christ." Who did that? Let me ask you a question. And we need less of the Holy Spirit today? We need less? Let me tell you something. We don't necessarily have multiple languages. I mean, we have people who speak Spanish, and we have different cultures. But can I tell you what the Holy Spirit is doing today? He's empowering us to speak to every man, every woman, and every boy in this county. He has given us the words. He's given us the language to be able to change the trajectory of the people here in Wilkes County. "And ye shall be witnesses unto me in Wilkesboro and in North Wilkesboro. And you shall go into all Wilkes County and into Samaria, into Elkin, and into Winston, into the uttermost parts of the earth. You shall be a witness of me." A witness of what? A witness of my power. But I am not leaving you powerless. I am going to put within you my Holy Spirit. I'm not only going to put Him there to put Him there, but I'm going to cause Him to teach you, to comfort you, to be with you, to empower you, to give you the ability to speak to every situation, to touch every situation that you come in contact with. "And when He had spoken these things, while they beheld, He was taken up." And in chapter 2, I'm stopping here. There's no way I can go on. How long have I been preaching? Amen. Oh, Mama says, "Keep going on. You're in trouble now." "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come," everybody say, "fully." Everything has its fullness before it can be manifested. Amen? Do you know why God said that you're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit? I wrote this down. We must fill up before we can pour out to others. God knew that within themselves, they would be ill-equipped to make a difference in the earth. We want to make a difference. How will we make a difference if we're not filled with the Holy Spirit? "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, one mind, one heart." At 10 days alone had got them together. Prayer had changed them, and they were waiting for the promise. They didn't know what they were waiting for, but they were waiting for the promise. And there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. I understand the dramatic introduction that God wanted to introduce the Holy Spirit to the earth. And I'm not saying that every time we need a mighty rushing wind, but we do need a mighty rushing wind of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And my whole thing that God keeps resounding on the inside of my spirit, that keeps resounding over and over again, how is it that we need less of the Spirit than they needed over 2,000 years ago? How is it that we need less power, that we need less? We need every one of the gifts. We need every one of the involvement that the Holy Spirit involved them in. We need all the empowerment that was given to them. We need it for our lives today. How can we say we need less? How many here would raise your hand and say, yep, I got all the Holy Spirit that I ever needed. Don't need no more. I don't need anything else. I'm fine. I'm happy. I'm satisfied. There's not one person here who would say we need less of a movement and the power of the Holy Spirit. In fact, everyone sitting here would say, Pastor, if there was ever a time I need more of God, I need more of the power of the Holy Spirit, I need more of God empowering my life and my family than ever before. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues as a fire, and it set upon each of them. They needed that visible sign because it's something they had never seen before. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. On this day, of course, it was a Spirit. But this was before. You have to understand, here in that room, they received the Holy Ghost with the evidence and speaking in other tongues. When they stepped out, they began immediately, through the gift of tongues, they spoke to those men and preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. On that day, over 3,000 men were born again in the church in one day. Amen? How about we set that as our goal? That we want one day, just give me one day. I don't need two. I'll take one day. That we see 3,000 people added to the church in one day. Amen? I want to say to you today as I close, there is never any more of a time to where that as right now that I find myself searching and hungry for God to do something fresh in our lives. How many would say to me, Pastor, I need God to do something fresh in my life and in my heart? How many would say that? I need a fresh move of God. I need God to do something fresh in my spirit. Would you raise your hand? Amen. Don't just think it. Raise your hand if that's you today. Yes. All over the building. Can I say something to you today is this? Can we dedicate the month of June and as we go into July as a time of refreshing and infilling? As we begin to open up the Word of God, as we begin to see God's divine plan into our life, here's the prayer I want you to pray. It's a simple prayer. And anybody can pray it. It's only one word long. More. I want more. Can you say it? More. Say it again. More. Now say it. I want more. I want. I need. I need. I need more of Him. It's not that God's going to give us more of the Holy Ghost, because when we receive it, it's there. It's not so much that we're waiting for Him to come from heaven, because the Holy Spirit has already been given through the dispensation. The church was already birthed. Amen? The baby doesn't go back through the birth canal. The baby grows up and becomes a man or a woman. The baby can't stay the baby, as cute as they are, and they're adorable in this stage. But they go from this stage to that stage right back here, laying on his Mimo's shoulder. They go from this stage where you can pick them up and carry them around and change their diaper and feed them. And they go to that stage to where they learned their most important word, no. But Grayson can't stay at that stage. Are you hearing me? There's a lot of things he partially understands, the difference between right and wrong, but he doesn't understand the full emphasis of it. And can I say to you right now that here he is, but there is a point and there's a time to where he can't stay at this age, because can you imagine him at 12, 13, 14? Can you imagine him at 21? And he's still acting the same. See, he can't go back through his mother's womb, but what he can become more of what he was created for. The Holy Spirit lives within us. How much are we going to release him in our life? How much of the Holy Spirit are we going to release out of our life? How much of the Holy Spirit are we going to let him have way in our life? Let me tell you something. The most dangerous thing in our life is when we want to vote in God's will for our life. When we realize and finally come to the revelation that he is sovereign and that he is in control of my whole life, that's when God begins to change things. Would you stand with me today?